Let's get right into the fishing forecast with Captain Wayne Miller on the Mobile Ten Saw Delta. How you doing, Mr. Wayne?
Man, I'm doing great, Alan. We've had just an absolute great morning out on the Delta today. Weather is gorgeous. Man, these fish down here, I think they're chewing on the side of my boat. They're definitely biting. It's been a good week, and it just continues to be really strong. All the creeks down on the causeway, these fish are, they're stacked in these creeks that are adjacent to the bays. And, with the advent of the little bit colder weather we've had, it's bumped this water temperature down now to, 50. It was about 52 this morning.
And, wow.
It's warmed up to about 55 right now, but man, it's got these fish, they've got the feed on. There's no doubt about that. So it's really been good. We've caught them on, a myriad of different baits. But caught a lot of them on plastic. But, they're hitting crankbaits and even spinnerbaits some. Spinnerbait bite's been pretty slow today. But the soft plastic bite with lizards and creature baits has really been good.
That's good to hear. Are you still using any live shrimp?
Well, I haven't been, but, I've talked to people. I've been on the water just about every day, so I've talked to people that are using them, and they're still catching them. And they're still getting live shrimp down on the causeway, so, you can still definitely catch them using the live shrimp.
What type of soft plastics do you prefer?
This time of year, I still like, I throw a lizard here on the Delta year-round, and a June bug lizard or the watermelon chartreuse.
Or a 7-inch?
No, it's a 6-inch. I typically throw the June 6-inch lizard. And, but we've caught a lot of fish on shaky heads today, too. So, this morning what we had, we had an outgoing tide for the first couple of hours this morning. Man, those fish really bit strong. And then the water's turned around. Now it's coming back in. But
right. But
either way, with movement, either direction, the fish are, they're feeding pretty good.
Well, that's good. The Prime Delta feeding times in the magazine this month, both Saturday and Sunday, shows a 4-star day. So it ought to be a really good weekend for fishing.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be great, man. And, it just... it should continue to be, really good. I don't see any major weather events that's going to, bring a lot of water our way. So, the Delta should hold up and be really strong.
The water clarity is still good?
Oh, man, it is beautiful. It's fantastic.
On Saturday, the moon will be overhead at 10:31 in the morning. So that's a mid-morning good time to hunt or fish right there.
Yeah. So,
that moon can really affect fish. If conditions are stable, like they seem to be right now, for 3 or 4 days, the same kind of weather over and over, the moon can influence the bite and also the movement of deer and animals and birds. So.
Yeah. And, for the weekend, looks like with the weather forecast that we've got, it's going to be, a good weekend to get out.
Well, hopefully the crappie fishing will be good this weekend, too. We got to deal with a little bit colder water, and maybe they'll be a little deeper. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We got some crappie experts coming on later in the show. We'll ask them and see what they're doing. All right, Wayne, I appreciate the report, buddy, and you have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you, Alan.
Let's check in with my buddy Mike Thompson along the causeway. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, Alan. I hope you are, too.
Well, man, I have seen some really good pictures of speckled trout, redfish, all kinds of things being caught around the causeway this week.
Man, it's, we're probably 2 to 3 weeks late on the Super Slam that's going on right now. This is the best time to take someone out that you owe a fishing trip to that really is not that, an avid angler, but they'd love to catch some because now is a lot more catching going on than fishing, I tell you. Those rivers are full of specks and reds, and there's been some really big white trout caught, too, which is kind of surprising. But all people are doing is doing the old do-nothing drift. You let the current and the wind push you at a natural pace. You need a falling tide for this. And you drift down the Tensaw River, the Raft River, the Blakely River, and you're liable to score on some specks at any of those places.
And when you're doing that, are you dragging jigs along the bottom, Mike?
Right. You want to use soft plastics. I prefer sparkle beetles. My favorite, of course, is the root beer sparkle beetle, and I like to have a pretty heavy head on there when I'm fishing 15 to 20 foot of water. I'll use a 3/8 ounce head, and I'll put the rod in a rod holder, and I'll adjust the line so I can see the tip of the rod just tip, 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 you know, and what's happening is that grub is bouncing, hitting the bottom, and when it hits the bottom, it makes a little puff of mud come up, which is very similar to what a shrimp does when it gets startled.
Yep. And when you're letting the boat just drift with the current, the bait is following the current in a natural way, and it's a really effective way to catch fish that way.
Well, you know, you really do need a north wind and a falling tide. If you get a falling tide with a south wind, it slows you down. It interrupts that natural motion, and they just don't seem to want to hit as well. Now, I've gotten a lot of reports from guys that are going two or three times a week. They're catching them on the smaller baits, 3-inch Zoom grubs, and they're using 1/8 ounce heads. And what they're doing to get that bait down to the bottom is they're doubling up, and they're making basically a speck rig. They're making a loop above the main bait. And that those two baits together weigh enough to get down to the bottom where you want to be. However, I did talk to an angler yesterday that caught a lot of his fish suspended 3 to 4 feet off the bottom. So you just really have to experiment.
Saturday and Sunday afternoon, both days, the tide will be going out. So you've got a falling tide working for you. Maybe the wind will be from the north for anglers that day, too.
I think it's forecast to be out of the north on Saturday, and Sunday I might flip around, but I hate to look ahead, but next week the tides are going to be perfect for doing the do-nothing drift down all the rivers on the causeway. So if you can get off next week ahead of Christmas, you're going to set yourself up in a perfect slot to catch some fish.
Sounds good. Give us a report on the ducks. You've been seeing many ducks out
right after the last front came through, where we had a little bit of snow, that shocking snow. There were quite a few ducks killed, mainly gray ducks, and there's quite a few bluebills hanging around, and some of these guys that are going south are getting into the really big canvasbacks, and that's unusual because that's a real hardy duck that normally doesn't show until after Christmas, but there's been several hunters have gotten the beautiful canvasback drakes, and the taxidermists are going to be busy this year.
I love to shoot ducks. I don't know how to hunt ducks that well. I've never been a duck hunter, but every once in a while somebody will invite me. And
well, the fishing is so good, I'm going duck hunting this weekend for the second opener of Louisiana Split, and it's like that old song, torn between two lovers, not knowing what to do. Well, I'm going to head on down and try to pop me a few ducks and then come back next week in town and put a few specks in the boat.
I tell you what, you're right. There are so many choices for an outdoorsman this time of year. Right now we've got dove season in, which I wanted to tell you, man, I got invited to a dove shoot last Sunday afternoon on a freshly picked peanut field out in Grand Bay. And I'm telling you, we had a barn burner out there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people give it up this time of year, but, man, you just never know when you're going to find the perfect opportunity, just like you're describing.
Yeah, we had a lot of those big old white-winged doves, and seems like some of the northern doves are showing up now down in our area. So my favorite time of year to hunt doves is late December and January. So it's good. So many choices, we don't know which way to go when we get up in the morning.
That's right. I love it.
Well, Mike, I appreciate the report, buddy. You have a great weekend.
All right, you too.
All right, let's take a little trip up to Lake Martin and talk to our good buddy, Captain Michael Walker. Michael, how you doing, bud?
Doing good today. How are y'all?
Doing good. What's the water temperature now at Lake Martin?
58 degrees.
Yeah, and that's probably a little cooler at night, too. So what happens to the stripers, those big stripers that y'all target when the water temperature starts getting down in the 50s?
Right now, our stripers starting to really kind of move from the mid-lake and lower ends to the northern ends of the lake. A lot of them are located off the main channel and towards the Mouser Creek. Bite's really strong during this time. You'll have a mix of topwater, down lines, which will be your deeper fish, and then also a mix of being able to pull planer boards or mid-range baits.
Mm-hmm. So they're in relatively shallower water, maybe 30 feet, 1 foot to 30 feet?
Right now, we've got fish around 45.
Okay.
On the humps, around 45. We've got some fish at 30, 25. Over the next week or so, you'll start to generally see more and more fish kind of come into that 40 to or less area.
So they're really just starting to move toward the shallower water now, right?
Yes, sir. They're, right now, your best bites really on main lake, main channel, mm-hmm. with about 70 feet of water somewhere around it. But humps and shallow flats that come out to about 40 feet.
You sent me a picture yesterday of someone holding up a big striper. My goodness, what did that thing weigh?
That was 44.
44 pounds. Man, that is an awesome fish right there.
We're just starting to get into that time where we're starting to target the bigger fish. As we go on through the winter, it just gets more and more fish in the areas that, and they're really ready to eat during that time.
So do you think if someone wants to catch a trophy fish like that, that December, January is the best time to go after those big ones?
This year we're probably going to fall into January, February, and, trickle into March. We'll have opportunities throughout those whole months. I personally like February is just my key month if you're just going to try to pick a month, because February, every fish is feeding by then. They're getting ready for their spawn. They're going to be at their peak point of just putting on weight. And
so
that usually tends to lead to a lot of fish being caught.
So right now is a really good time to call you and book a trip for February before it just gets filled up. The number to call Michael is 205-362-8322, or you can log on to the website at lakemartinstripers.com, and Michael will put you on a big fish, I guarantee you. So February's filling up. What a good Christmas present that might make for somebody, too. It's just in time.
Oh, yeah. Anybody that loves fishing should have a good time coming out with us during this time of year from now through the spring.
Yeah.
A lot of numbers.
Okay, Michael. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good one.
Bobby Abiscato's with us. He's got the inshore report for your weekend. How you doing, Bob?
Good afternoon, Al. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good, man. Did you catch fish? You catching fish?
Yeah, I have been, man. It's just had a good day today. Had some real quality fish today. Some of the better size fish I've caught in the Delta today. Caught plenty of fish, drifting down the river channels, getting on the ledges, and I think we talked about last week or the week before. Just the key is just once I kind of hit on the depth they were at, is just the key is just kind of holding the boat on that. So you're casting into that area where the fish are. If you just kind of keep an eye on that. On that depth finder, when you're catching fish, they really set up nice, and that Delta, ever since I've been fishing, it really kind of patterns well that way. Once you hit an area, if you'll keep your eyes up, on your depth, that'll really kind of keep you on the fish, and that's what's working. I fished earlier this week down in the rivers down at the lower end of the bay, and had a couple real good quality trips using slick lures, and finfish imitations down in those. Had some quite, not the numbers that I'm catching in the Delta, but the quality was really good down there. So there's there's some great opportunity just because we haven't had any rain to amount to anything on any of the rivers right now for trout. And then I haven't been, but I've talked to a couple people that have had some really good redfish trips out at the mouth of the bay when the weather cooperates, getting out there and catching big oversized reds out the mouth of the bay, and then, you know, some smaller redfish up in the marsh systems. So there's some good opportunity down there at the lower end of the bay if you want to do some of that, or kind of mix up a trip between some trout fishing early and some red fishing later into the day.
Well, the redfish are really doing well along the causeway. Are you seeing a lot of reds up in the creeks?
From where I'm fishing, for the number of reds that I'm catching, there's got to be a lot of reds up here, because where I'm fishing out in the main river channels are not where I'd normally go to catch reds.
Right.
And even while we're catching specks, every day we've caught a handful of really nice sized slot reds, you know. So there is, you know, so if you, you know, I think if you kind of really wanted to target reds, you could get up in the mouths of some of those creeks, or even up in the creeks, and do well on redfish up in the delta, mm-hmm. you know. And again, if you really want to target redfish, I think right now I'd be getting down at the lower end of the bay, because it sounds like there's just swarms of those down there.
And if you're in the creeks after reds, you'd want to concentrate, what, along the grass edges?
Yeah, get around the edges, or if you're up in the, you know, like I usually will fish if there's a small river or whatever, there's a little, any kind of little small creek, like a marsh drain, like a little creek, little innocent looking, you know, 5 foot wide creek that drains into the river, that drains the marsh.
Right.
That's always a good kind of what I consider kind of a good redfish spot, because if you're able to look at an aerial view of what creates that little drain, is you'll see it's almost like a little nerve system right there, where all these little bitty feeder creeks feed that creek and they feed another creek, and basically what's happened is that marsh is being drained out of the mouth of the main creek that drains into the river, and so that's where the redfish are going to congregate until the water gets real high and they can get back in the marsh. They're going to hole right there at the mouth of those creeks. So I don't ever pass by any of those little bitty creek mouths.
Mm-hmm. All right, Bobby, appreciate it. Y'all can book a trip with Bobby by visiting his website at ateamfishing.com, or give him a call at 251-661-7696. Thank you, Bobby.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
All righty. Let's check in with Jay and see what's happening with the deer hunting around Thomasville and also in Baldwin County, all around South Alabama. How you doing, Jay?
Man, it was red hot last weekend. Saturday afternoon and Sunday, it was like turning on the light switch.
Well, Saturday morning, everything was kind of freaking out and hiding in a hole with all that snow on the ground. They didn't know what to do, did they?
Absolutely. When you get those major weather events like that, whether it be super cold weather or snow or something, they just kind of lock down.
It wasn't hardly any birds moving around. It just freaked them out, I guess. I don't know.
Absolutely. But I tell you what, when it warmed up a little bit, when they came out with a vengeance. We took in a lot of really nice buck. My son killed a real nice 10-point, and it was a good weekend. Also, in the Baldwin County, you know, taking the deer in down at Daphne, it was quite a few people brought me deer down there Sunday afternoon and Monday.
Just for folks who might not know, Jay is the owner of Skinner's Wild Game Processing, who has two locations, one in Thomasville and one in Baldwin County near Daphne. And he gets to see all the deer activity and what's coming in, you know, and sort of tell what's going on out there, and talks to a lot of hunters, a lot of deer hunters every week. So Saturday afternoon and Sunday was good. What do you think about the coming weekend? What's your prediction?
I think it's going to be great, Alan. We got some good weather. I think there's maybe some rain coming Sunday. But I think Friday, Saturday, before this front, unless the weather forecast has changed, should be really good.
Yeah, I was talking earlier in the show about the moon, and the moon on Saturday is going to be straight over your head at 10:30 in the morning. So mid-morning deer hunting may be really good there.
Yeah, I'd sleep in a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. One thing that used to kill me hunting in the mornings is I'd get out there, wait for daylight, and about 9 or 10 o'clock, you're ready to go. And really, mm-hmm. some days, that's when it's just getting good, about 10, 11 o'clock.
You ever notice when you're sitting in a tree stand and after the sun starts coming up good, all of that dew on the ground starts rising and passing by you up there, and all of a sudden you get really cold and you can't figure out why it wasn't this cold at daylight.
Well, absolutely. You know, that's a key on a hunt, too, Alan. Yeah. When you go early, you got to deal with the thermals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're hunting in a low spot and when that sun's coming up, the reason it gets cold is compressing that cold air down, and it's taking your scent in those low pockets. And you're thinking you're in good shape, and then about when it finally does start to warm up, your thermals again will go back up the hill and go vertical for a little while. And so sometimes that'll kill you.
Yeah, so you're saying real cold weather makes your scent go toward the ground?
Well, when it starts to get daylight, like you just said, how you feel colder.
Oh, yeah.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening is the you're getting a compression of that cold air.
I see.
And your thermals are actually getting pushed down in the low pockets. That's if you got no wind.
Uh-huh.
And you'd be 20 feet up a tree, and let's say you're hunting in a little old hollow or something. It's going to push your scent down.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that sun starts coming up and things warm up, then it has a reverse deal, and your thermals are going to go up.
I see.
Hmm. So a lot of times you're sitting there thinking you're in really good shape to hunt this acorn bottom or something in a creek, and really you're getting your scent's getting spread up and down that creek because of the thermals. You don't even have a wind.
Yeah. More reason to take every precaution or try to eliminate your human scent, which, in my opinion, can't be done totally, but you can certainly help yourself if you use non-scented soap and keep your hunting clothes and especially your boots in a plastic bag or some container so they don't pick up scent from surroundings. You know, I've seen hunters get out at the gas station in their hunting boots and walk around in the spilled oil and gasoline and, you know, fill up their car with gas and then go get in the tree. You're gonna pretty much smell like the parking lot of a gas station if you do that.
Yeah, you're going to pay for it, even all the way down to, you know, Alan, years ago, WD-40 was the craze to put on everything, metal mm-hmm. or, you know, lubrication and whatnot, and people would put it on their gun.
Yeah.
And you're talking about, you know, you got to look at all you use on your firearm or your bow or whatever equipment. You got to look at every aspect of it because that strange scent, more times than not, will spook them. You know, every once in a while, I ran across something one time of all things. You get a laugh out of it. I was having a cough, and I went in the store and I bought some hard candy. It was those root beer barrels.
Yeah.
Okay, and I was using those root beer barrels. I had them in my backpack, and I kept noticing these deer come downwind of me. Alan, dang, they wouldn't turn and come to me.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't know what that scent was, and they were curious, and they were trying to figure that out, and I guess it was stronger than mine. And I had deer that year. They just came right up to the tree and looked at me.
Well, I hate giving away secrets, but I'll tell you this. The biggest buck I've ever killed while bow hunting, I had a piece of peppermint candy, and I swear that deer was coming to that peppermint candy smell.
Yep, he smelled it probably and didn't know what it was and thought, man, this, you know, I got to check this out.
It's not a threatening smell. It's a curiosity kind of thing. It probably smells good to eat, you know. So
yeah, one day if I see you, I'll show you a couple of videos where I actually videoed the deer coming to my tree.
Well, there's a tip of the day from us. Me and Jay say just go get you a piece of peppermint candy and make sure you keep it in your mouth the whole time you're deer hunting.
That's right.
All right, Jay, you have a great weekend, buddy. Thanks for the report.
Yes, sir. You too.
All right. Joe Dunn is a friend of mine. He lives right on the banks of the Alabama River around Miller's Ferry, and he also owns a sporting goods store, Dunn Sports, in Thomasville, Alabama. So he's in a unique position to keep us informed about what's going on up there. How you doing, Joe?
Doing great, Alan.
Well, man, first of all, let's talk about crappie fishing. You know, is the water temperature's getting colder. Are they going any deeper yet?
Yes, that's going to start now. Like I said, I checked with some guys that fished some last week, and the water temperature now is going to get in the mid to lower 50s.
Right.
So everything's definitely going
shift another gear now. The bike's going to be real slow, and it's going to almost feel like a little nibble, or, you know, it feels like the weight's going to get just like you don't feel anything. And usually when that happens, that's when you rev that step.
Yeah, they do bite differently in colder water, I can tell you. They don't hit it like they do in the summertime, so you really have to pay attention.
Yeah, I get tickled at some guys that say, well, I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything. Reel up. Maybe you lost your bait, and they'll reel up, and the minnow may still be on there, but he might be missing some of his parts.
When a crappie sucks a minnow in real quick, sometimes first thing pops out is the poor little minnow's eyes, and when you pull him back up and he's missing an eye, you knew that a crappie's done hit him once or twice already.
That's
right. Just can't feel it, you know. It's, like I said, it's so subtle that time of year. You know, it's just hard. You got to really be a feeling of it and knowing what you're looking for a lot of times.
So what's the best method right now on Miller's Ferry to find the crappie, and how would you fish for them, and where would you look?
Well, this time of year especially,
the Miller's Ferry, you know, it's a river run lake mostly. You have some big flats, you got big creeks off of it, but most of the time when you don't have high water, but you're in the wintertime mode and it's cold, but you have a normal flow, I like to stick in the river itself out in the main channel.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I like to stick to the, I call it the outside bends of the river. The bottom's usually a lot harder over there. The crappie like that. Plus, there's all kind of usually structure hung in those bends. A lot of times it could be rock, a lot of rock ledges on those bends. But that's the places that I kind of target. And
so that's the area you want to be in, the outside bends where that hard bottom is, and you're still looking for some cover under the water, right?
Exactly. You go through there looking for structure. There might be some visible structure, but those are the ones I dodge. And the reason I dodge visible stuff, that's because everybody sees it, everybody fishes it.
Yeah.
If you go ahead and get you some good electronics, you've got to really, really rely on your electronics if you really want to be successful on the crappie fishing.
Right.
So that way you can find the structure that's not being harassed, not being beat up. And the other thing, too, is to really pay attention to your electronics, because it'll tell you about what depth you need to fish.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can go to Washington, and you got to be able to learn to distinguish shad from, you know, other schools of type fish. The shad usually will all be the big wads and stuff. And what areas those shad are in, well, you know, good and well, your game fish don't be in the areas where the shad's at. So that's the depth you need to go to target in then.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about deer hunting. I know last weekend was pretty darn good all over South Alabama. Right after the snow started melting, the deer seemed to get up and move good. What do you think about this weekend, and what have you seen killed this week?
Like I said, around here, you're still picking up a few good deer, but basically we're still in that, what I call that December lull. We got just a few more weeks, and things are going to start really turning around. But you're going to have a few of them that's going to skew your bucks. It's going to get frisky a little early.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see in a few small scrapes. Not usually, it's going to be usually a younger deer, but you're going to start seeing some now. And that's what a lot of guys are doing, going around checking for those things, putting out a few cameras and trying to figure out if that's the one they want or is that the one they need to pass up. But it's just getting started. Like I said, not to the extent of, you know, late January yet, but like I said, we're still a little bit in that, what I call the December lull right now.
Well, I've often wondered if we shouldn't just stay home during December and let the deer settle down and hunt them hard in January when the rut starts happening. So I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much for the report. You have a great weekend, Joe.
All right. Appreciate it, Alan.